Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Tommy Wirtz in for Andy Herman. Andy returns tomorrow to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Hey, listen to the Fan for your chance to win a pair to see tickets to see one and the one and only. I'm sorry, is this English that we just got written right here? Adam Sandler and his You're My Best Friend tour live Sunday, October 5th at Pfizer Forum. Visit thefanmilwaukee.com for your chance to register to win a pair of tickets as well. Brandon Woodruff, what a great return that was to the mound yesterday after a two-year break, right? Forbes Sports Brewers writer Drew Wagner is going to tell us all about it today on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis, presented by Verizon, number one network in Milwaukee. That's at 10 as well today. We will see the Mason Crosby Show immediately after the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Joining the Pack-A-Day Radio Show now live on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law Offices, it is of Acme Packing Company, Dusty Evely, joining the show. Dusty, hopefully you had a great 4th of July, my friend. I'm excited to get to talk to you because everyone's got nothing but high things to say about you, but we've never actually talked on a radio show together about the Green Bay Packers. So how are we doing today, Dusty?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I talked to you briefly. What, you're like, hey, get ready for Andy, you know, doing
right.
Andy's dirty
yeah,
work here.
Exactly.
No,
yeah.
I'm excited to talk to you, man. Yeah, great weekend. Nothing but optimism for the Packers, dude. I'm hyped to be here.
Yeah, Dusty Evely, follow him on Twitter, at Dusty Evely, joining the Pack-A-Day Radio Show now. And I was in all last week, too, because Andy thought, you know what would be the most amazing thing to do on the 4th of July, get out of America. Let's go to Spain and let's enjoy it over there. So Andy returns tomorrow. I believe he's getting in today. It'll be great to see him again and have him back. But last week, a lot of the themes revolved around expectations and pressure with the Green Bay Packers. And we really, basically, it would hone in on Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love are being surrounded by so many expectations and so much pressure heading into 2025 based on, hey, this is year three. Like, this is the year to do it. You've been in this system now, and it's really going to have a lot more eyeballs on you this season specifically compared to the last few. Do you agree with that, that this is, like, maybe the most pressure-packed year we've seen for Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur both at the same time in 2025?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think last year, like, you know, looking back, the season as a whole was different because you get the ebbs and flows, you get the injury, and so you kind of write some of that stuff off. But I mean, going into last year, it was very much they came off, you know, they had that the big win against the Cowboys in the playoffs and then just narrowly lost to the Niners that next week there. And so that was, they're ready to take the step. And so I think last offseason, we really did see a pretty big push in terms of, this is the year, man. Love seems like the guy. He took that step down the last half of the season. It didn't quite work out that way. And again, some of that now we can write off as, well, there was injuries and, you know, all of the receivers didn't take a step and all that. But expectations were high last year. I'd say they're higher this year just because, like, oh, the excuses are gone now. Like, we had those built-in excuses. You can't use those same every single year. We got the wide receivers are another year removed. You know, hopefully, you know, with, like, Reed going into year three here, you're hoping he kind of rebounds a little bit from what that is. So I'd say as far as the pressure on them, I think the pressure for me personally, I think that the pressure feels more on Love than LaFleur. I think part of that's what LaFleur had to do with when Willis came in and kind of what he showed, like the flexibility he showed there. But also, I mean, there's always going to be more pressure on the quarterback, I think. So yeah. I think probably more pressure on Love than LaFleur. If there's a failure, I think maybe people start lobbing the blame a little bit more at Love. He's making a little more money. That's kind of what happens. But I do feel like there's a lot of pressure on the offense.
Yeah, and you talked about the excuses. If you took a shot for every time you heard the Packers were the youngest team in the NFL, you would have been drunk every Sunday on TV based on the broadcast. That was that was the number one excuse it felt like. And, you know, Matt LaFleur commented on that youth. But now he says it's translated into experience, and the Packers are more of a traditional draft and develop through the organization. They're, you know, two off seasons ago now is very, you know, out of left field from Green Bay, bringing in two high profile guys like a McKinney and like a Josh Jacobs, one on each side of the ball. It's not something we're traditionally seeing from Green Bay. How did you feel the Packers did this offseason? You don't have to necessarily compare it to two off seasons ago. But just looking back at some of the moves, whether it is bringing in Banks or Hobbs or how they attacked the NFL draft, if you wanted to grade it or put it on a scale of 1 to 10, whatever you feel is easiest, the Green Bay Packers this past offseason, how did you think they approached it and how do you think they attacked it this year, Dusty?
I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's like you said, it's different than the kind of the flashy stuff. And the other one, you know, you always go back to is the Smith and Adrian Amos, where you're like, all right, man, we're getting some high price guys here. And obviously Banks was a lot of money, but this is how you use free agency. I mean, you can get the flashy names. If a guy like Xavier McKinney falls to you, you can take the swing at that. You take a swing at that. Like, that's perfectly fine. But I think they have something they want to do with the offensive line. They know they need to be shored up a little bit. So you bring in Banks. Maybe a slight overpay, but he's the body type they're looking for inside there. And then you don't have to reach. I mean, if they want to do, you know, they did Belton in the draft. If they don't do Banks in free agency, maybe they take a guard or a tackle in round one. Maybe they double down at that position a little bit more. So I think they used free agency as this. We're plugging some holes, some pretty obvious holes that we have that we don't have to reach. And I like the addition of Hobbs. When I watched his tape, man, I was just over the moon watching that dude is so much fun to watch. So big caveat, if he stays healthy, he could be awesome. But I mean, those moves like that, are you make those in free agency, so you're not like, all right, man, we gotta take a corner in round one or something. So I liked it. I mean, I thought the draft was awesome in terms of what they did. There's some question marks there. I'm iffy on Savion Williams a little bit. I'm excited about his potential, but I don't know. I'm not sure what he could be. But man, I'm hyped for those first two picks, Matthew Golden and Belton. I'm over the moon. I mean, if Belton, my mind, Belton may, you know, slots in at right guard, I think is where they hope he wins that spot. And then you've got just nothing but beef on the inside of that line and dudes that can move and that power running game they're trying to move to. So it seems like what they did kind of gives them flexibility. It fixes holes, but it also just kind of gives them, kind of helps them lean into what they want to do, provided everyone's healthy. So I'm big, big fan of this offseason.
Do you think that Belton, they want to fit in as early as possible, even up to this season, Dusty? Because I think if that's the case, then maybe a lot of people were not sure of this, but the room they wanted to improve the most was the offensive line from last year into this season. And I didn't even think it was all that bad last year, Dusty.
Like, it wasn't bad, but if you watch it, like the run game, particularly like the pass pro, they were generally fine at. They had some flubs here and there, for the most part, fine at pass pro. The run game, which, I mean, they base a lot of play action and stuff off of that, they had a hard time. Even the games that were good, that was Josh Jacobs a lot of times making them right. The only game I remember them like dominating up front was that Seahawks game, where you would look, and by the time Josh Jacobs already hit the line, dudes are 5 yards down the field. For the most time, like, they're, especially against like the better defenses, no movement up front. Like, they held their own, but there's no movement up front. And then Josh Jacobs is looking for a crease. He's got to make something after contact at the line. Like, it's hard to live that way. And Jacobs made them right. You can't count on that next year. You can't count on Jacobs being healthy next year. You can't count on every running back doing that. So I think the line, as far as what they want to do, what they need to do, they need more movement up front with just their line, and they had a hard time doing that. So, I mean, my thought would be, I mean, I think obviously you want your rookies starting, if you can get them going, year one, every single time. Based on how they've done their offensive line in the past, I don't know if he will, but I think they're going to give him every opportunity to win. And just what he did in college, I don't know if he's got the feet to play left tackle in the league. That's what he played in college. I think they want him to win that right guard position. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to do so. So who knows if that's the way it lands, but I do think that's the way that they're going to want to go with it.
Dusty Evely joining the Packaday Radio Show. Tommy Wirtz in for Andy Herman. Follow Dusty on Twitter at Dusty Evely. I'm now all of the way invested in this offensive line talk here, and I didn't think I was going to. But the next question, after we're talking about young offensive linemen trying to stand out on the offensive line, you got to go talk about Jordan Morgan. And this is a guy who was the first round pick 2 seasons ago now for Green Bay. They drafted him on his versatility, and everyone was a little shocked, I think, at the pick when Jordan Morgan was selected. And then he's plagued with injuries in year one as a rookie. I've talked about this with Andy and with a few others on the station here, that we are sharpieing in people for their positions on Green Bay into next year, right? Jordan Love, Sharpie, he's going to be the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think you can Sharpie Jordan Morgan on the offensive line, but I have no idea where you write that on the offensive line, whether it is the left tackle spot or the right guard spot. If Jordan Morgan, if you have to pencil him in somewhere on the offensive line, are you leaning more that he is going to be the starting left tackle or he will be the starting right guard? Because, Dusty, quite frankly, I don't think there's any way he's not going to start at some position on the offensive line. I think Green Bay wants to see what they have, and they expect him to be ready for 2025.
Yeah, I mean, my hope would be left tackle. Like I said, I think what they want to do the interior of the offensive line is they want to add big dudes who can move. Morgan can move, but like he's, I don't want to say he's light, but like for what they want to do on the interior of the line, like he's kind of a smaller dude. So right guard, I thought right guard last year was like that's what they wanted to do, and I think that's what they wanted to do, and he didn't quite win it outright, and then he had the injuries and all that stuff. But I based on the Belton pick, and again, that's basically just me. I don't see him at left tackle. And they want more beef in the middle. I think they want Morgan to win left tackle. The curveball I'm going to throw in here that I've been peddling my little pet project this whole offseason has been Elgton Jenkins. Okay, they don't know if they're going to sign him to another deal. They don't really sign linemen to the third year. He's holding out. You've got all that stuff. You've had the Zach Tom to center stuff for a while. Zach Tom, tremendous right tackle. Tremendous right tackle. Wouldn't move him to center unless you have to. Now, however, if they trade Elgton Jenkins and you want to slot Zach Tom, say, listen, we're going to pay you right tackle money. We give you your extension. We're going to pay you right tackle money. Don't worry about the money. We got you. You play center. Jordan Morgan is going to be our right tackle. Like that would be, that's my little, I don't think it would happen, but it could potentially happen depending on how the Elgton Jenkins stuff slides out. So I think they want left tackle, would be fine with right guard, and then like dark horse right tackle potentially.
Do you think that you can guarantee Jordan Morgan will be on the starting five at some position in 2025?
I would have said that, but I don't know. I mean, because there was talk. I don't know that I've seen anything about it since then, but 2 weeks ago, they were talking about Rashid Walker about an extension. Now, right. There was no numbers on that whatsoever. So, like, was that an extension in the way they kind of gave Yash Nyman, like that kind of mini extension where it was just kind of you're our swing tackle? Like, is that the thing or not? But, I mean, you're looking a little slim on stuff here. So I in terms of positions, if Belton, I would say I wouldn't be shocked if this year starts off and Morgan's your starting right guard, Rashid Walker starting left tackle, but I think they want Belton in there just due to the size stuff. So I would hope. I really like Jordan Morgan. I liked him in college. I'm a big horror movie guy, and he's a big horror movie guy. So like I feel like I'm a little biased in that respect. I would love for him to win a spot. At this point, the room's just kind of a little weird, a little jumbled. I don't know that I can guarantee that he's going to be. I think they want him to.
Sure.
But there's not a clean fit at this point, I don't think, unless he wins left tackle outright.
And they saw how terrible the depth was when Philadelphia exposed it in the last week in the playoff matchup of the wild card round. And they obviously attacked that need. And it seems like, in hindsight, that was what Green Bay wanted to get better at, the offensive line, more than anything else. The wide receivers and the offensive line, their offense, they wanted to revamp it. They wanted to copy Philadelphia a little bit more. They built on the trenches on both sides, and it's exactly what they attacked this offseason. Dusty Evely of the Acme Packing Company joining the Pack-A-Day radio show. Dusty, today what we've been talking about is newcomers for Green Bay, and who do you think could play either the biggest role or be the most exciting piece to Green Bay, whether it is through the NFL draft or through free agency? I'm pretty high on Mecole Hardman. And the reason why I am is because I just think that his value in being one roster spot who can be a number four, number five wide receiver and also be your primary return guy is a lot more valuable to Green Bay than maybe even they think right now, because quite frankly, Keyshawn Nixon, he's great at returning kicks. If he's going to be cornerback one, I don't want him returning kicks. And the same with Jaden Reed. I think that he can be really the most explosive piece on the offensive side for Green Bay if they drew it a little more up friendly for him. And I don't want him returning punts. So Mecole Hardman is a guy that I'm really high on being a newcomer for the Green Bay Packers. And I also admitted, he could also not make the team, and I would totally not be surprised by that either. But who's a guy, you're the film guy, right, Dusty? Who's a guy who was not on the Green Bay Packers last season that you're really excited to see be a part of the team in 2025? Again, whether it's a draft pick or a newly acquired player, who's that guy that you think could be someone for Green Bay in 2025 that was not there in 2024?
I mean, I'll say I will just go just because, I mean, first round pick, it's obvious. I'm with Matthew Golden. Like, I love Matthew Golden. And that was very much a, he's not the Packers type, but I think he does good things in this offense. He does things they need him to do. We'll see what happens once he starts playing, but doesn't drop a lot of balls. I think he's versatile. Like, he's a good route runner on top of just being blazing fast. Blocking stuff's a little tricky. That's tricky with every rookie guy. I think projecting a rookie to come in and be like, that's my guy, it can be tough, especially with receivers, but we've seen receivers come in and be good from day one. So I think just based on, I think what they're going to ask him to do, especially out of the gate early on, what he can be in this offense, just his skill set, I think Golden's going to be huge for this receiving room. And I think it can open up a lot of other people. I mean, if he is, I know the whole wide receiver one, blah, 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 but if he can step in and be wide receiver one, at least like the guy that like wins on the outside, because I think he can, that frees up a lot of guys to do other stuff. And then I think, you know, I'm hoping for a bounce back from Wicks. Reed certainly had some issues last year, but I think that opens up Reed to do. If Golden wasn't there, I think you're asking Reed to do stuff that he maybe is not the best at. With Golden in the building, I think you can free up Reed to do Jaden Reed things. So I think that one's the other one I'll just throw in is I love, man, I don't know how much he's going to hit on the field. Colin Oliver, like his college tape, he's undersized, so I don't know how he fits up against the run, anything like that. But he's a demon on pass rush downs. Just like you can't like blurry fast. Like you can't touch him. He's got a bunch of moves. He's got inside outside. Like just a fast dude. So that's a guy who on like third and seven, I'm just all right. Where's Colin Oliver, man? Because I can't wait to see what that guy does.
Do you think that he could be put into those positions early in 2025, Colin Oliver? That is because edge rushing for Green Bay, no one really standing out, right? Rashawn Gary has had super high expectations, and by the end of the year, somehow he ends up with 8 sacks, and it's the most quiet 7 to 8 sacks you've ever seen in a season. And obviously, Lucas Van Ness has probably been, you know, on the underwhelming side for his first 2 seasons. Do you think that does free up opportunities to see more Colin Oliver early in 2025 for Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, they've always kind of rotated their rushers. I think that's what they want to do. I think, with him and Sorrell in the building, I think Sorrell's kind of – he's small, but he's a little bigger, so you can play him some early down stuff. But I think they want to rotate their guys anyway. And third and long, I mean, I think – my guess would be Colin Oliver out the gate is special teams guy, and then he's going to get – I mean, week one, he maybe gets like 5 or 6 snaps for even on defense. But it's just – it's 3rd and 7. It's 3rd and 8. He's designated pass rusher. Like, that would not shock me in the least if he, from day one, is your situational pass rusher. We'll figure out what else you do later. But we're going to try to get you, 6 to 10 snaps a week, and then we'll try to expand that. That seems like his role early on.
How excited are you to see Jeff Hafley's defense again? They didn't attack a lot of needs but they didn't attack building up that defense all that much for Green Bay standards. They're going to bring back a lot of the same front four. Their linebackers seem pretty shored up. They like the safeties, and they brought in one corner and let one leave as well this offseason. But it seems like Green Bay is putting a lot more trust, a lot more faith in Jeff Hafley in year two of the defense now. How excited are you to see Jeff Hafley's defense for year two in Green Bay?
Dude, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. That was, I mean, watching him, I watched him at BC. I watched him at Ohio State and watched him at BC. And watching those defenses and, like, I know what he wants to do at his core. I watched coaching clinics and stuff with him. What he wants to do at his core. And you watch what he's doing later years at BC. He wasn't doing that because he didn't have the guys. So, like, when they hired him, I was like, this could be cool. Like, he has shown to be versatile. He can play to the strengths of his players. What he did down the stretch, like he kind of was feeling his guys out early, what you can do, all that stuff. What he did on the stretch of the season, where he really leaned into, what do my guys do well? What can I do with these guys here? And he's doing all the sim pressure stuff, especially once Edge Cooper was in there a little more, you're able to get him unlocked a little bit more. The versatility that they had up front, the versatility on the back end, I mean, I'm excited to see what he does with, hopefully a fully healthy Evan Williams, with Xavier McKinney. He got another year with Bullard, who I really was high on out of the draft. And then, he started one game, dude, but Oladapo looked tremendous in that Bears game. So if you get these where the league might be going defensively, which I wouldn't have trusted Joe Barry to do, which is like these three safety looks, and you can roll and rotate, disguise coverages a little bit more, I wouldn't be shocked if Hafley runs into that stuff. Like, he seems like a very smart. I mean, the thing on him coming out was good teacher, smart guy, listens to his players. That was all on display this past year. Like, they were running a bunch of different stuff, and everyone knew where they were supposed to be. So year two, we got, hopefully some health with Evan Williams, all of that. We got a say a versatile, but I don't know how much they're going to use him in that versatility role of Isaiah Simmons. You got year two of Edge Cooper. Hopefully the line, you know, hopefully the Kenny Clark toe injury was what was kind of hindering him a little bit. I'm so high on the halfway defense, man, especially back half of the season. Like, this is going to, I think he's going to be, I think he's a real one, man. I think he's going to be really, really good. I think this could be a very, very good and very fun defense.
Dusty Evely joining the Pack-A-Day radio show. Tommy Wirtz in for Andy Herman. Follow Dusty on Twitter at Dusty Evely. Dusty, we're wrapping things up here. Looking at the rest of the NFC North, right? And the Detroit Lions lose both their coordinators. We got a brand new head coach, one of them a former Detroit Lions coordinator in Chicago. And Minnesota is rocking with a new quarterback, brand new to the NFL for the first time in quite some time as well. When you compare the Green Bay Packers to the rest of the NFC North, and when you look at what the expectations are for the rest of the NFC North, I don't think we're going to have another season of three teams winning, you know, 12 games for the NFC North again. It seems like a division that is prompted to take a step back. Where do you think Green Bay falls in the NFC North just on your first predictions for 2025?
Yeah, I mean, I think they got a good shot to win it. I think the Vikings, I really like the Viking coaching staff. Obviously, you've got, you know, Kevin O'Connell, a great head coach, great offensive mind, and then Flores on the defensive side. Flores has a thing where, like, he will do new chaotic things every year, and by the end of the year it's kind of been figured out a bit, even as much as he tries to mix it up. So I think we'll get some of that. I don't really like JJ McCarthy that much, but I do think in the offensive system I think he'll be fine. I mean, the Bears have won the offseason, but I expect them to not be very good. That's a beyond I mean, listen, beyond the first time head coach, right? Ben Johnson's there. I think his offensive coordinator, I think, is like 27-year-old tight end coach from the Broncos, if I'm not mistaken. It's a super young staff. This was something Ollie Connolly has talked about, where, like, can't remember what staff it was recently that was this, like, almost like superstar level. It was the Broncos. It was when Hackett went over there.
Okay.
I guess not superstar level, but it was a first time head coach. And then he hired a bunch of dudes that, like, he liked and he knew, but they were all young and it was their first time doing everything. And some of that was on Hackett, but that was a disaster because it was everyone's first year. And that's kind of how some of that stuff feels, like that could go with the Bears. Maybe they'll be good eventually. I don't know if Ben Johnson's going to be a good head coach. We'll figure that out. That's different from an OC, but I think I don't say step back, but they win five games last year. That feels about right this year. You know, maybe they win six, seven. But I don't think they're very good. And I do think the Lions, I mean, what I've heard about the Lions is Dan Campbell had way more to do with the offense than a lot of people know. Ben Johnson was obviously play caller, like architect of a lot of that stuff. But I think Dan Campbell is a much better offensive mind than a lot of people understand. I think the defense takes a step back. And I think the offense is good, but not great. Because I do think Campbell's good, but there's always that adjustment period when you have to do that. I can't remember their offensive coordinator. I think he's done it in the league before, but he was in D2 college recently, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they take a step back. So I think it's there for the Packers to take. Like you said, I still think it's a good competitive division. Like I think those three teams will be good. I think the Bears will be, not about good, like more competent than they were last year,
sure,
I think.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't think we're getting like, oh, these guys are all winning 13, 14 games. I think it's the Packers to take, but I do think that battle at the top is going to the end, and then the Bears will be kind of hanging around there for a little bit, probably.
Dusty Evely joined Pack-A-Day radio show. Tommy Wirtz in for Andy Herman. Dusty, thank you so much for popping on today. Anything you want to plug, anything you want to direct the people towards before I head you out of here?
No, I'm over at Acme Packing Company. I got something coming up this week. We're doing top 10 plays of the year. So I just wrote up, I think it's hitting on the 10th. So in a few days here, the big Jaden Reed pass, the 53-yarder against the Rams was thrown into.
That had no business being caught. Yeah, had
no business being thrown, no business being completed. Yes. So I just wrote that up. And I've got some other stuff I'm working on that I've got a vision for the offenses next year, so I'm stealing plays from around the league. So those are popping up here and there as well. But that's over on all of an Acme Packing Company, and then Wednesday's Pack-A-Day with Sarah Kelleher and Steve Perhatch.
Very nice. Dusty, thank you so much for jumping on. We'll have to do this again. Maybe when Andy's off again, we give you another call. But I don't know. Now we're getting into it. I mean, it's been kind of a slow summer right now. We're in the doldrums, Andy Herman likes to talk about. But, you know, pretty soon, I mean, there's a football game at the end of this month. The last day of July will be the Hall of Fame game. Super excited. Cannot wait. Dusty, thank you so much, my friend.
Tommy, good to talk to you, man.
Very nice. There he is, Dusty Evely over at Acme Packing Company. You can follow him on Twitter at Dusty Evely. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to our Potawatomi Sportsbook final thought of the day. It is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.